All right, so I'm excited as you are that the Lord, after many years of prayer, has provided us with the property just to our north. It adjoins this property. We have stretched this building every way you can do it in 20 years. When we moved in here, you wouldn't recognize it. This auditorium would seat about 180. And now to seat close to 300, we had a big platform here. We had a big, well, I'm standing in what was the baptistry, and in front of that was a choir loft, and in front of that was a platform. We've stretched all that. But there's some things you can't stretch. You can't stretch restrooms, and you can't stretch hallways, and you can't stretch lobbies and that sort of thing. So we have wanted to grow and to expand. Also, if you just... You know, you can say, well, I love my church, I'd come no matter what. But the fact of the matter is that those airplane seats are completely different when you're sitting with your family than when you're sitting with strangers. That crowded elevator is completely different if you're in there with all your friends or if you're standing in there with a group of strangers pressing against you and pressing against the wall. And the truth of the matter is, Americans, when you get this full, and they got to sit down, and their shoulder touches your shoulder, and their leg touches your leg, unless they're creepy. it's a bother to them, and so praise the Lord. So anyway, here's where we are. This next few minutes be entitled "Bursting Your Bubble." Bible Baptist Church membership in April of 2007, 10 years ago. Was 267, and we were praying fervently about expansion. 89 of those 267 were under the ages of 18. At that time, we appointed Brother David as our youth pastor. The man who wanted to be the youth pastor led a church split, which took place over two phases over the course of 2 years. Then from 2009 to 2010, the housing collapse resulted in dozens relocating away from DeLand. Our membership in April of 2011 was 140. So we went from 267 and needing to expand to 140 and wondering if we were going to continue to go down until there was nothing left. Membership of April 2017 is 317. Praise the Lord, of which 93 are minors. Now, that 317, 70 are consistently involved in one of the many outreach activities of our church. That's good, but it's way, way down percentage-wise from prior years, meaning we have more people coming, but we don't have as many people devoted to the work. So that's something you have to consider. So the question is, are we going to continue to grow or until we peak out, or are we going to have a big decline like we did in the past? And we don't know. We don't know. No way to know that. Also, in 5 years, 5 years from right now, 25% of you will no longer be part of this church. Some of you will be on a mission field. Some of you will relocate because of a job. Some of you will move because your children are having grandchildren in Texas or Kansas or someplace, and you want to be where the grandchildren are. Some of you will agree with everything we've taught and done for 25 years, but we'll do one thing one day that you won't like, and you'll leave, and all your family and extended relatives will leave with you. That's just how it goes. And 5 years from now, some of us will be in heaven. Amen. Be with the Lord. So, realistically, you say, man, right now you can count on me. Realistically, you can count on Jesus. That's who you can count on. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm just saying, had the people that urged us to borrow a bunch of money and build a big building 10 years ago, most of them aren't here. The mortgage would still be here, but they're not here. So you gotta consider those things. Now, our issues with the present facility. We have insufficient lobby space, and that's a genuine concern. Not in April when it's beautiful like it is right now. Come visit in August. Well, we can just stand outside and talk. No, you can't. I guess you could, but you won't. Insufficient restroom space. That's a legitimate concern. insufficient nursery space, that's a manageable concern at present. Occasional crowding in Sunday school rooms, that's manageable at present. Legal limits on auditorium seating. Now, we started a bus church, and workers and children, there's 40 of our folks in the bus church right now, but those seats filled right back in. And then security, we started a security detail, and there's about 112 people working security on any given Sunday. They're everywhere. And 110, I'm sorry. And so still we plug people in other places and we just fill right back in. And you say, well, you know, we could cram 400 people in here. The fire marshal doesn't have to know it. If the place catches on fire, even if we know how to use fire extinguishers, I don't want 40 people getting hurt in a fire because we said the laws don't apply to us. I mean, people that know more about that stuff than we do say this is the number of people you can have in here with the number of exits that you have. And for them to argue with us about the Bible, we'd say, you don't know what you're talking about. Why would I argue with a fire marshal about how many people we can put in here safely? I'm not going to do it. So that's an issue. All right. If we were to build.
What do you mean if?
If we were to build, we would do so as follows. Number one, we would erect one large building to provide adequate seating, lobby, restrooms, nursery, and maintenance closets. That's it. That's all be in that building. This is preferable to expanding the current building, knocking out walls and so forth, because of the disruption to operate. Where are you going to have church? We start tearing up this auditorium to make it bigger. And also, there's a risk that a 40-plus-year-old building may not have anything in it that meets current codes. And we really don't want to start there. All right, number three, in order to meet present needs and the best possible scenario needs for 10 years out, we would build so as to double the size of this auditorium and then have equal to the size of this auditorium for lobby, nursery, storage, so forth. It would not make sense to build the new building anywhere but adjoining the current building. You don't have a brand new church building on the back of the 9 acres and have a, you know, quarter mile hike to Sunday school and fellowship hall and all that, or even out front there. It would not make sense to build the new building anywhere but join the current building because new building charges are much more than charges to make additions. So if we tie a new building to this building, it's an addition, it's not a new building. So that doesn't make sense. It's government. It's not allowed to make sense. Should we decide today that we wanted to build engineering, architectural planning, government payoffs, contractors, etc., would take 12 to 18 months before you could put a shovel in the ground. I'm sorry. It's just so you just got to think about that. All right, costs. I said we have 317 members. I also said we have 93 who are minors. We have a number who are wives. We have a number who are minimum retired, a number who are minimum wage workers in their first job. You said, we got 300 people, let's build a building. For 40 people to pay for? Let's be fair.
Sure.
When you say, let's build a building, do you mean let's build a building or you mean you guys build a building? just being realistic. All right, costs. Number one, we have spoken with those of you who could put up the new building for almost nothing. And we have spoken to those of you who would price it as though it were a government road project. And we've taken the median price based upon everybody's contribution. Okay? Some people said this much a square foot, like we're building Trump Tower. And some people said this much a square foot, like it's, you know, God's just going to, we're going to pray and the building is going to pop out of the ground. So we went right down the middle. Number two, the more work we do ourselves, the more money we save is a great theory. It assumes everyone knows what they're doing. It assumes everyone does it perfectly. And it assumes that everyone would be glad to be told what to do and what not to do. Which means we're not going that route. Number three, for this reason, we will hire to have as much of the work done as possible so we can give orders to professionals and fire them when they do poor work or don't listen to us. If we fire you, you quit church, and now there's only 39 people paying for the building. So, we took what it looks like we need to build and what it looks like it costs per square foot, and the basic cost of the building would be $1,728,000. Now we're down to 24 of you paying. Yeah. In addition to this, we have the cost of land prep, driveways, parking lots, furnishings. Plans from the architect be $32,000. Permit fees, $15,000. We can't even get a price from the county on impact fees because it just depends on who's going to Hawaii next month and how much they need to cover the cost of the business meeting. We have no idea what charges will be for site prep until we have building design drawn. So, okay, here's the building plans. Can we build? Well, no. You got to have an underground tunnel for gopher turtles, and you have to have a pool for manatees and all the other stuff. This is Florida. So total cost of the project would be at least $2 million. There'll be a charge of $11,600 to turn on the faucet where the water line runs to the city and county water line. So why would it cost $11,600? Because you keep voting for the same people over and over again, and they keep doing this stuff. All right, so payments. No problem. Let's go to the bank. I'll tell you what. You go to the bank, and you borrow it, and you donate it, and you pay it back. How about that? Anyway, payments. To borrow $2 million at current commercial construction rates over 20 years would increase the cost of the building from $2 million to $3,508,454. In other words, it costs $1.5 million to borrow $2 million. Now, I'm not a finance guy. I'm just a preacher and a Bible and all that. But if you can't afford $2 million, it seems to me you can't afford $3.5 million. That's just me. Now, if you want to live for today, our monthly mortgage payments on that would be $14,600. No, $14,618.56. I'm sure we can count on one of you for the 56 cents. Now, praise the Lord. Our average income as a church from 2014 to 2016 has been $40,700 a month. Thank you. Our average outgo has been $37,000 a month. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We're taking in more than it costs to do what we're doing. That leaves us $12,000 a month short on a mortgage payment. Come on, what do you want to do? Go down the drain because we want a big building? Now, here's what we could do in order to make up for that. We could stop supporting missionaries and stop sending Bibles around the world and stop preaching on the radio, and so we'd have a big building and we'd build one more social club. We're not going to trade being a church to have a bigger place in which to assemble. So that's the situation. Now, those numbers don't change if we borrow from church members or if we borrow from a bank. You say, well, let's don't go to the world. Let's just we'll have people in church loan the money. Those numbers don't change, whatever way you do it. All right, so options. There are two houses on the newly acquired property. Their close proximity to each other and to property lines makes it all but impossible to prepare a proper access to a new building from 15A. Were we somehow able to do this, we would face as much as $150,000 cost to put in a turn lane out there on the highway. If you've ever owned rental property, you know why renting is not something we want to do as a church. Well, we could just rent those houses out. You buy them, you rent them. It'd take about $50,000 to prepare those two houses for sale. At current prices, we could hope to sell them for $300,000. This would be enough money to pay for everything necessary to get us to the point where we could break ground. So we just draw a line right out there, sell the two houses, and now we got enough money for permits and fees and designs and everything else. So praise the Lord. We're back at $1.7 million needed, but we're ready to go. Dan, you better come up and lead some more songs here, brother. So what are we going to do? We're going to bring this before the Lord in prayer, knowing He's always supplied our every need. That's how we got this building. That's how we expanded this building. That's how we got that land. We'll place all designated monies into a building fund, which currently holds about $78,000, and hope that increases rapidly. Number three, whatever you give toward that fund will be used only for building. If it goes in building fund, that's where it's going to sit. However, please do not give to the building fund at the expense of our general fund, or we'll turn the 40 over 37 into 37 over 20. And that will be sunk. So, number four, I have never and will never go about looking for wealthy business people who need tax write-offs. But I've never stopped you from doing it. Let your conscience be your guide. All right. So anyway, it'd be great to see a big, beautiful new auditorium going up out there, a big lobby and all of that. But I'm just telling you right now, I've been doing this 40 years. I've been pastor right here 30 years. And you know how much I travel and go to other churches. You want to sink a place into a pit, get yourself a big mortgage. Don't tell me that $16,000 a month mortgage payment would not alter my preaching. Sure. Yeah. Well, no, you're, Brother James, you'd never, I don't know what I'd do. Right. You get a hole like that, you don't know what you'd do. Now, here's the other thing. You said we'd go borrow the money. Okay, so now we got a church mortgage at the encouragement of people who have their own mortgages. Things get tight for you. Which payment you think is going to stop first?
Right.
Your payment on the church mortgage or on your own mortgage? So I'm not going to let, I love you. I'm not going to let a bunch of people who are in debt talk me into adding another debt on top of that. When your primary commitment is going to be to your family first and your church second. And I don't say that to be mean or hateful. I'm just telling you it's not as simple as running down and borrowing a bunch of money, because believe it or not, this may surprise some of you. Ready? You got to pay it back. No, you got to pay it back. So anyway, that's where we are. And we will proceed accordingly. We'll work toward drawing up a design. We'll work toward drawing up some plans. But money-wise, realistically, we're a long, long way from being able to do what we'd all like to do. So that's... that's how it is. It's a responsibility of the father in the home. It's a responsibility of the CEO in the business. It's a responsibility of the pastor in the church to say, this is what we want, and this is what we can do. And right now, what we want and what we can do are not even close. And we pray, and the Lord might bring them closer and closer gradually, or He might just merge them all together right there in one big shot. I don't know. Brother David's laughing at me. Brother Jake laughed at me. I'm trying to get some. I got a fax last week from some guy in Spain. And if I just give him my bank account number, he's going to wire me $40 million. Be something, get to heaven, and God said, I tried to give you $40 million. But no, you didn't want to give up your bank number. Like he's going to steal your $3,500, you know. Open an account, put $12 in it, and send it to him. See what happens. So, amen. All right.